Lord, we give you praise. We thank you. We thank you for the breath that we draw. We thank you for the grace that we have received. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We ask that you open the scriptures to us and let the rain come down. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. We have been having a time in the presence of God since Friday. And in order for us to set the coordinates for this service, I want to enjoin us to turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. I want to do a long reading, so I'd like you to accompany me in the process. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient. Amen. Are we on the same page? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Hallelujah. We are going on a journey this morning. That's why we need to start quietly. Because every one of us has to be part of this procession. And at the end of the day, the least among us will become as strong as David. Yes. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. Without natural affection, verse 3, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away by divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but there shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Now, these are strong statements. The apostle was trying to give us an insight into the terrain and the template of things that will find expression towards the close of this civilization. A catalog of things were identified. And when he tried to illustrate or to explain the things he had listed, he gave us a very vivid example of how the spiritual climate and how the template of the end time will look like. And verse 8 is a graphic picture of what we should expect. He said that as Jannes. Now, can you read this to me a little? Because I'm going to shout very soon. Amen. It says, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. He said, that is how these fake kind of people are going to withstand the truth. Now, you see, the word as used there in common simple English is a simile. Are you with me? Just like if the word was like or as, it's a simile. That means in the same way that Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, that is how the truth is going to be withstood by this set of people that Paul had identified, carrying these strange traits. They seek to withstand the truth, to infiltrate the camp of light, so much so that the camp of light will stand to lose its brilliance. Now, what was the characteristic feature of the time that Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses? Was it a time where people come to argue about God? Was it an argument that Moses brought to the palace of Pharaoh? I'm asking a question. How did Jannes and Jambres, how did they withstand Moses? How? It was through the supernatural. And what Paul is trying to say is that in the end of time, the direction in which life will go will be determined in the supernatural, just like it was when Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Now, the Bible also added that these guys must be stopped. I hope you know that inclusive in that statement is an end time mandate to everybody that is accurate in God. It means God is counting on us to be the ones that will stop this movement of darkness. And the only way we can stop it is that we must understand the terrain of the supernatural. Are you with me? The average Christian knows how to quote scriptures, not just like the man that cautioned us not to grieve the spirit. You know how to quote scriptures, but that is not how you tap the power of this spiritual order. The fact that you have the scriptures crammed doesn't mean the power of the scriptures is at work in your life. Now, you see, amen. See, the reason why I said that is from Sunday school. Those days, we used to quote scriptures. And we quoted scriptures until I went to Bible school, and we quoted more scriptures. Then when I graduated from Bible school, I went to try out the scriptures in the village. And I found out that the people that I encountered there were more educated in darkness than I was in light. I did not have the facility and the faculty by which the direction of events will be commanded as revealed in this scripture. I did not have the supernatural element. I did not understand the supernatural dimension of the spiritual order that God has brought me into. It is a fatal lack for anyone that professes Jesus Christ not to have an intricate understanding of the supernatural dimension that is revealed by that word. That's why we need to go to the basics. And that's what we have been doing since Friday. Amen. You know, our text has been John chapter 16, verse 12 to 14. Jesus himself came, and he introduced the personality of the Holy Spirit and identified him as the Spirit of Truth, giving us insight into the way the Holy Ghost furnishes spiritual reality. Also revealing to us the responsibility that behoves of us in order for us to take advantage of the potentials of that vista and that realm. The average Pentecostal believer knows how to speak in tongues, but he doesn't know the reason why he's speaking in tongues. And he doesn't understand that when we speak in tongues, what is happening to you is that you are gaining ascendancy. Have you studied the Bible and you have seen some scriptures that say, let the high praises of the Lord be upon their lips? What's that? What does it mean? Does it mean when we sing praise and worship and we are shouting? No. It's a gangway. It's like a ladder. When a man brings the song of the Spirit from the heart of heaven, all right? When that song comes into this realm and touches your spirit, what it does to you is that it takes you to the place where that song came from. That's the high praises. It has the capacity to take you high. You see, the miracle, the testimony is not that you went high. the testimony is that when you get high, you should be able to relate with the frequency, with the realm, with the dimension, and command deliverances unto Jacob. If we do not understand the supernatural dimension of this order, then we cannot fulfill that mandate that Paul has bestowed upon the church, that we will have to stop these people the same way Moses stopped Jannes and Jabez and brought the testimony of the God of Israel to the center stage. And it was obvious in that display that God was God indeed. So if we do not have men that understand the dimensions of heaven in our time, why will I say our alive, people will trample upon our God and go free. Are you with me? People can take bomb and put in the church and bomb the church and kill people. Alright? People can come and take, during a service like this, that they can come into the service with a gun and shoot and kill people. All these things are actually revealing to us that there is a need for us to step up higher. If we all know God, if you come and kill one of us, a plague will break out in this town. When Israel was accurate with God, and the enemy came and encroached in their camp, there were repercussions. If we are in alignment and we are accurate, and we carry the name and the testimony of our God, I hope you know it was because Stephen died that Paul was saved. When you kill one of us, the anointing comes on 10 more. You will now regret, just like the devil regretted when Jesus was crucified, if the princes of this world had known. There is great power in the order. But you see, we have been marking time for too long without a genuine knowledge of our God. Are you with me? Now, we are going to advance this morning. And as we advance this morning, the dew will drop on us. Now, that's not the important part of the matter. What I just said is not the important part of the matter. The way the spirit realm is structured, and the way God intended that we'll function and relate with that realm, is such that He casts responsibility upon every saint to gain mastery in spiritual things. Now, you see, the pastor cannot do everything. The pastor can pray. He can pick some things in the spirit. Hallelujah. But you see, the major part of the assignment is yours. And I will show you why. Amen. Two things we need to see quickly. The first thing we need to see is this. Because Jesus was introducing the regime of the Spirit of God. And Jesus said, I have so many things to tell you people, but I cannot communicate it now because you don't have the capacity to bear it. You don't have the stature. And so it is in your favor for me to keep it for you, so that when the Spirit of truth is come, He can guide you into those realities. Now, there is a problem. If I have a revelation about you that you don't have the capacity to contain, if I tell you, it will not bring redemption, it won't work redemption out. Are you with me? Because you don't have the capacity to handle that dimension of revelation. That's why Jesus spoke in parables. Because the people He was speaking to could not handle the things He was communicating. So He kept it under lock and key, so that when they mature in the things of God, mature in the revelatory powers and understandings of God, those seals can be broken. The depth of the revelation that will pedestal them as princes and kings in the territories. Until this moment, God still speaks in parables. And the reason why He does that is because we don't have the capacity to handle the things that He really wants to tell us. I would. Amen. So when you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit began to tabernacle in your heart. The implication of that is more powerful than your mind can fathom. First of all, God now has decided on the account of that investment to make Himself personal. God was congregational. God was corporate. That was how He functioned. Hallelujah. So you hear him, he's the God of Israel. And because of that system, his grace and his presence was upon a few people to testify about him and to establish his government in the midst of Israel. His grace once and again comes upon priests, judges, prophets, kings. Hallelujah. So that some form of government, divine government, can find expression over the house of Israel. But you see, the template has shifted. Now the Holy Ghost dwells inside of your heart. It has imparted and conferred upon you a responsibility to understand and to discern God from the realm of the spirit. Are you with me? You are not with me. You see, I was a classroom teacher for many years before I started preaching. So in the class, if people are not understanding, there's a feedback method. Hallelujah. How do principalities talk? How do spirits talk? Do they speak language? Because Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are not Igbo, they are not Igede, they are not Hausa, they are what? Spirit, they are life. Are you with me? Now, so if God wants to communicate to you in your spirit, you know he's inside you now. How can I explain? How can I break it more? See, if this understanding is not necessary, Jesus won't have made any statement in the book of John chapter 16 to introduce a new regime. See, the way I'm relating with you now, that's not how this new regime will run. He is trying to educate us about a shift. Are you here? Now, so, you know, yesterday night I was telling us how easy prayer was those days. When Jesus was walking this world, there was no need to fast because prayer was as easy as walking to Jesus and say, who sinned that this man was born blind? That was prayer. Prayer of inquiry. You need to fast to walk up to Jesus. This woman was caught in adultery, the very act. According to the law of Moses, she should be stoned to death. But what say you? That's inquiry. What is your opinion? Maybe we have not carried out all the provisions of the law of Moses as it will actually be in the interest of your perspective. So help us fill in the gap. What say ye? That was prayer. They were inquiring from God. So you don't need to fast to do that. But the same Jesus said, it shall come to pass when I'm taken from this people. A new regime comes in that day. They will do what? Have to fast. Now, does fasting, are you with me? Do you know that Muslims fast? Do you know that Muslims pray? What is the difference between your own prayer and Muslim? No, don't laugh. Hey, you don't know. You don't know how much is available to you. We live like slaves. We walk on foot. Our destiny is horseback. It is because of these things that we have not yet known enough to practice as a most natural state of our existence that we are locked down by darkness. What is the difference between your prayer and the prayer of a Muslim? Help me now. Let's know if we know. Because if you don't know, all you have been doing is religion. You have not touched the reality of the power of Jesus. And that's why we cannot prove that our God is true, because we don't know. Muslims call Ramadan. What is the difference between your own fasting and your fasting? And please, I need answers. You know, this is a Pentecostal church. When we go to the Orthodox to minister, there's a way we in fact, you won't come down from the pulpit. You'll be there. If the alignment of your tie is not in order, we have a problem. But thank God we are home now. So let's talk like men. Let's crack the jokes of our father and understand how the import of the parables that he has given us. What's the difference between a Muslim praying and you praying?
not about the direction of the prayer. The Muslim praying, you praying, what's the difference?
I believe that.
No, don't believe, just tell me. Don't.
I am praying to the Son of God.
No, you have taken it beyond the scope of the question. What is the difference between you? Let's not talk about where the prayer is going. We know where it is going. You, what is the difference between you? You see, you are still taking the prayer, the answer out of the scope of the question. We are not talking about where you are praying to. We are saying, you praying, your activity, that activity called prayer. What is the difference between the one you are doing, the act of prayer, and the Muslim's act of prayer, not where the prayer is going to? Yes, please help me. Oh, okay. He said, we pray and stand. Then the Muslim man prays and he sits down. You know why we are laughing? We are laughing because all of us that laughed, you don't know. You know what, Pastor? As we go around the world preaching the gospel, I'm telling you, if something drastic doesn't happen to Christianity, in the next 30 years, it will be wiped out. Because the average Christian doesn't know God. Should I tell you something? Wait, let me tell you something. Whereas a Christian, when you give birth, you want to give birth to 2 children, you know, want to raise them, you know, train them well. A Muslim wants to give birth to 10. Those of us that know mathematics, if you calculate, if you do arithmetic progression, you are giving birth to 2. Muslims are giving birth to 10. It means in the next 50 years, this world, as we know it, will be an Islamic world. You don't know? Christianity, we don't have any strategy to take this world. You don't know how terrible our situation is. And the average Christian does not know God. That's why this conference was put together. You are not permitted to go back the way you came. Now, are you seeing the gravity of what we are trying to? We are not here to, okay, another good preacher has come to town. That's not the idea. The idea is that something has to shift in your life. Because the recovery will begin with you, from your family. That change we are talking about will start from you. And if you don't know God, you are helpless in this matter. Because the Bible says that advancement must be stopped. Are you with me? Now, let me pick 2 things. The man, the Muslim man that is praying, he doesn't have enablement from anywhere to do what he's doing. He's trying to reach the spirit realm with his natural ability, with his psychic ability. That's a limitation in itself. It's just like somebody that has crutches. But you, the God you are praying to, has his deposit inside of you to energize you to reach him. That means you can't miss the way. So if a man with crutches has more advantage in the natural than you, it means we don't know the one that is inside of us. You understand that? Prayer has no power outside of the Holy Spirit. Fasting has no power outside of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing you do that has any special spiritual effect if the process that you adopted to carry it out was not energized and powered by the Holy Ghost himself. Hallelujah. There's no power in Islam. Because the real thing that they do, the real spiritual aspect of it, is still sorcery. Are you with me? If we have not been able to advance to take this city, to take this nation, and I hope you know this nation reflects more of witchcraft than it reflects Christ. That means in this current time, witchcraft is on the lead. The recovery must begin with you. Without understanding now, let us proceed. From the teachings we have had for 2 days, Jesus introduced the Holy Ghost as the Spirit of Truth. Alright? We have tried to define what he meant by that statement. And I want to be sure that we understand what I meant by the 2 days teaching before I advance today. What does Jesus mean by the Spirit of Truth? The Spirit that is designated to bear witness. Now, see, in the court of law, you don't bear witness until you are... Who is a lawyer? Help us with the legal words. You are an eyewitness. Thank you very much. You must be an eyewitness in order for you to bear witness in court. Bear witness where it matters. Now, so the Bible calls the Holy Ghost the Spirit of Truth. And it is because of that his identity that is designated with the responsibility to bear witness. Are you with me? Now, Spirit of Truth there, as we have seen through the 2 days teaching, actually means the spirit that furnishes the reality of spiritual things. Now, God, in bringing you into spiritual knowing, are you with me? If you are still here, say amen.
Amen.
Now, you cannot handle a spiritual thing until you know that spiritual thing. I will show you some things, a list, very soon. You cannot what? Handle a spiritual thing until you know it. But you see, knowledge in this context is not the kind of knowledge that you get from a library or the kind of knowledge that you gain because you attended a lecture. The knowledge we are talking about that powers and drives the spirit realm is a knowledge that is revealed. And when that knowledge is revealed, you become a partaker of the experience of that reality. So it becomes as much a part of you as your own beating heart. Not a knowledge that is external that you exert your mind to capture, but a knowledge that is revealed and experienced. So you derive such knowledge because you have had a first-hand experience of that reality. It is this Spirit of Truth that is saddled with the responsibility of bringing us into experiences of spiritual things so that we can have first-hand encounters with those things. It's on the strength of those first-hand encounters that we ourselves, just like the Spirit of God, bears witness, we too become witnesses. Are you with me? Today, even if you don't believe, God will move. So it's not saying let's believe. No, don't believe. Today you are permitted to doubt and to walk in unbelief. Because what the realm I'm speaking about has the advantage of sovereignty. And God can move irrespective of your will. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God brings us into the realities of spiritual things so that we can have a first-hand knowledge of them. He brings us there and he opens those spiritual things and brings us into those things. He also furnishes those things upon our spirit so that we can know them by the knowing of revelation. It is when you begin to know spiritual things that you can handle spiritual things, and then you can take advantage of the power that spiritual things have. Turn your Bible with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If 60% of Pentecostal Christians can know God and then know his reality, Nigeria will fall to us. But you see, it's already captured in prophecy that God will visit our nation. It's captured in prophecy already. So we are actually the food soldiers that God is intending to use
to take over every platform and everything that have been considered to the enemy. We are actually a foot soldiers that is going to stand in battle to redeem the heritage of God that is being lost in our land. And because of that, we need to be educated rightly so that everyone can take his journey under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. A new day is about to break amidst us. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord. Oh, Jesus, help me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord. Are you with me in the book of 1 Corinthians? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See. No, I can't say that one. If we were all ministers, we can talk like that on another level. People that have touched the scriptures for a long time and have touched God for a long time. If we talk, we understand ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And brethren, please, I would like you to do something for me quickly as we go on. Amen. Now, this is what I want you to do. Because it's a tunnel we want to enter now. It's a strange tunnel we want to enter. Now, you know that Jesus said that when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. That means he wants to give you first-hand experience. The way he does that is this. He brings the reality of spiritual things and punishes them upon your spirit. So that you know that you are making contact with that spiritual thing. It's on the strength of that that it begins to educate your spirit to know things. Right? He does what? He educates your spirit to what? And the knowing I'm talking about is not the knowing of the library. It's the knowing of revelation. It's the knowing of faith. Okay? Then when he starts, you start excelling in knowing things by revelation. He will now begin to take you to spiritual places. You know, the Bible says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Now, if Elijah called down fire, it means it is possible to call down fire. And many other people in scripture call down fire because it's not an exclusive preserve for Elijah. The only problem is that Elijah was standing in a particular spiritual place, and the characteristic of that spiritual place he was standing gave him the ability and the potential to do what? To call down fire. Now, so if I can locate the place Elijah stood when he called down fire, I can call down fire. If I can locate the place that Catherine Kuhlman stood when she commanded the fountain of healing, I will command the fountain of healing. It's not about Kuhlman, it's not about Elijah, it's about a place. And the navigator becomes your tour guide. He takes you to places in the realm of the spirit. And that was why he told Moses. He said that there's a place beside me. When you stand in that place, you will not know the difference between past, present, and future. Because my glory will pass before you. It was that place that Moses stood that he wrote the book of Genesis. Past, present, and future merges and becomes one perpetual continuum. We have walked in the wilderness for too long. Right now, God sounds his clarion call so that his people can arise. Something is about to happen, but we will have to make it happen. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
He will also introduce you to spiritual beings. Because the spiritual world, heaven is a country. Hallelujah. God is not a prime minister. God is not a president. God is a king. Because he's in charge of a country. Hallelujah. And when you come into that country, it's expected that you'll be introduced to functionaries in that country. And that's where the knowledge of angels, high cherubs of glory, seraphs in the spirit. You will attend meetings with seraphims.
I know you, I can prove it from scripture if you want me to do Bible study. But I'm testifying so that we can cover much ground. But if you want us to talk and show, the Bible said that he had come to Mount Zion. You have come to the city of the living God. The Bible says that you have come into the company of an innumerable company of angels. The Bible says you have also come to the spirits of just men made perfect. In this kingdom, people don't die. If the helper is in the village, can say he's summoning the spirit of his forefathers, it means he has an understanding that you don't have. Meanwhile, the average Christian is looking for a breakthrough. He's waiting for a phone call. And that's why he leaves his phone on in the service. If we take an inventory of all the on phones now, you will be embarrassed. We know where you are waiting for your salvation. It's in the earth. But some of us have lifted up our eyes to the hills. From whence our help come? Our gaze are fixed. You are trapped into time. My mortality is a curse. But we have gone beyond mortality. To touch things that have power. To confer with thrones. With princes. And with the God of the whole earth. The realm of which I speak is a realm that commands power and life in itself. And there is no way you will say you have touched that realm that life doesn't come out of you. So we want to go through a tunnel. Now, as we are going through this tunnel, half of this congregation will not be hearing what I'm saying again. It is selective in itself, based on your hunger for God. But you see, a day will come where the song that is being rendered on earth will be the same song that comes from heaven. And heaven and earth will merge. Hallelujah. And the kingdom of God will be established on earth in the same magnitude, brilliance, radiance that it is established in heaven. We seek men of sufficient stature that will wield the sword of the Spirit. Please help me ask your neighbor, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect another? You said it, you were too casual. Are you the one who is to come? Should we expect another? Okay, now let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. Now, you do me a favor. We want to track some things. Okay? Now, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide us into all truth. He will not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine. Now, see, we need actually 1 month to touch those verses. Finish that syllabus. Because the only thing I want to successfully say in this conference is to define him and introduce him as the Spirit of Truth. So that you can understand how he guides you into all reality. Now, the Bible also says that he shall show you things to come. Shall I show you what? Things to come. I have 1 question for you. It's a pivotal question that will unlock the door of the burden that God has put upon my heart. What is a spiritual thing? Who can help us? You see, you did not notice that we have switched beyond the realm of the mind. You will find that question very difficult to answer if you have never stood on Zion. What is a spiritual thing? No, not to your understanding. Just what is it? Something mysterious. That answer is as mysterious as the question. So it has not helped us with a much needed understanding that we crave. What is a spiritual thing? A spiritual thing is not necessarily mysterious, sister, because you can know it. The Bible says that we have not received the Spirit which is of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. With things we speak, not in the words with man's wisdom teaches, but with words with the Holy Ghost teaches. When he compares spiritual things with spiritual. What's a spiritual thing? Spiritual things are those things that have deep concern with God. You spoke English, but you did not answer my question. Are you with me? Now, I think we need to go to the Bible. We need a reference. We need an authority to guide us with that kind of a definition. And that's why I said you should open to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And when we read now, I'd like you to take notice of every point that Paul mentioned things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That was a deliberate choice that he made. Not that he was not an orator, not that he was not of prolific speech, not that he did not have diction, erudite, capacity, ability of utterance, but he said, by personal decision, that my preaching, my teaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. I know how to speak, I know how to talk, but I decided not to choose that path. It means that's a path of ministry. That's a highway. That's one of the highways of ministry, to preach and teach with enticing words of man's wisdom. If you come to Lagos, you will know that I thought, before I started staying in Lagos, I thought that Lagos was our hub, was our armory. Hallelujah. That was where the Church of Jesus Christ in our nation had its best arrows. And I went there and saw that all that was left was the enticing words of man's wisdom. And the faith of the people had been anchored on something that doesn't have any foundation. And Paul said, I deliberately decided not to toe that path. And the reason why I did it was because of you, not because of me. I will get popular in the process, but you will get trampled underfoot in the process. I did it so that your faith can be anchored on the right things. And that's why my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in what? The demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith will not be anchored on the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. That was his own resolve, and that was what determined his style of ministry. I don't know when last you were in Abuja to attend the service. No, you see, some of us have burden for the Church of Jesus. Do you understand? I don't consider you as somebody in another denomination. No. You are my brother. Denomination doesn't appear to me when I relate with you. Because if you know the plans the Muslims have put in place, you will know that this our chicken mind will have to grow beyond it. And the Lord will have to march and muster his army from every part of this nation to fight this beast of reckless wickedness that has entered into our land to defile it. So I don't see you like, no. Alright? So, my burden is for the Church. And when I travel from city to city, and I go to fellowship with the people of God, Hallelujah.
And troubled when I noticed that the emphasis is not God. I'm troubled. Because some of us are young. Hallelujah. We are trying to envisage the time where we'll be 50 years. All right? If this is the trend that has taken root now, what will be left for us when we are 50 years old? And that's why the spirit of Elijah must come back. That's why the original witness must be born upon the hearts of men again. That's why the true testimony must go forth again. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but with the demonstration of the spirit and of power, that your faith might not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, come. He's now explaining what he just said. He said, how be? Nevertheless, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, not the princes of this world that come to know, but we speak wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God has ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it. You see, this wisdom is cryptic. The devil has no access to it. If we begin to function by it, your life will be a proof that the devil is defeated. Your life will be a proof that Satan was cut off. Your life will be a proof that demons are not what they claim to be. See, because that wisdom was hidden. It's not defiled. And it operates in a place and is captured in a realm where darkness cannot access. And the Bible says that God ordained that wisdom before this world was founded. And he ordained it for your glory. He ordained it for my glory. That means the things that Jesus refused to speak in the book of John chapter 12. He did not hide it from us, but he hid it for us. Because the Bible says that those things were hidden not from us, they were hidden for us. For our own glory. That means you will never attain to the fullness of that which God has ordained you to be if you don't know how to crack the code. What will glorify you? What will pedestal you as a full personality as ordained by God, flying and manifesting with the brightest colors? It's cryptic. You must have to discern how to crack the code, because it was ordained unto your own glory. It was ordained unto what? Many of us do not understand the meaning of the word blessing. How I wish I had time to explain why I said that. I would have taken you to the book of Luke. If we go to the book of Luke, you will see that what we call woe is what Jesus called blessing. Because you don't understand, when God is working out that glory in your life, it looks as if you are cursed. I'll tell you, when he's working it out, if among men, you are. And the reason why it is designed like that is so that no carnal man can eventually enter into it. You will back out.
Yes, sir.
You will back out. Many of us come to church, give our life to Christ, but we have taken the carnal template of the Christian life. You will be on your lowest potential all your days. Because when somebody begins to see you pray and fast, they say, are you a pastor? That's our mentality. You don't know that people that are doing civil service work need to even fast more than the pastor. I'm a civil servant as I'm speaking to you. I work in the federal civil service. Some of my superiors in the office, the charms they carry is the same kind of charm that people, warriors, carried when they went for war. Hey. Who is an eager man? You know those charms, those ones they invoke in darkness before they fight. People like that carry it for civil service work now. And you want to work in that office and prosper. And after every three years, your promotions will come. He said these things are hidden.
for your own glory, but it is a responsibility. Will you want it? Do you desire it? Most Christians don't. You like where you are, and you have been trying to manage it for the past 25 years. God is fair. God is righteous. It's what you want. If not, provisions were made for your glory even before you showed up, before this world was coupled together. We went for a meeting. They called us for a meeting. We came out from our station. That day I was fasting. I think I was on the third day of my fast. I was staggering. While the meeting was going on, my eyes were open. The person that called the meeting, you need to see the charms and the demons he carried. It was only during the time of war that they carried demons like that. And then you go there and you expect that your fire will not get missing. It's a war front you went to. Even those of us, you don't understand that every platform is a platform for ministry. Every platform. You are a policeman, it means your ministry is in the police. And I hope you know that to succeed in ministry in the police, you need to be more rugged than the average pastor. Jesus did not have a pulpit. He had platforms. A boat could become a platform. Say, just take it back, take it back. A prepared man is better than a prepared message. Jesus was prepared. Anything he stood on, he had a congregation, an audience. he said, move the boat back small. Once my voice can drop on them, I'm okay. And so if he puts you in the police, he wants your voice to be heard there. If he puts you in civil service, he wants your voice. But I warn you, there are people there that are ready for war. So you will learn how to. Okay, let's go. Out of 1 year fasting, when I was at depot in Api for 1 year, the charms that were on display there were those kind of charms that they forged under sunlight. Yo, you have stayed in the town for too long. It has affected you. Oh, Jesus. There are some charms they forge under sunlight. It's not under moonlight. Sorry, moonlight. They don't work on it when it's daytime. But they said it's fuel that they want to sell there. But people came there with charm that they use moon to form. It's only you that doesn't know that place is a war front. You came there with file and pen, and you have not prayed for 7 days. And you want to prosper them. People die in that depot on Thursdays, and they die on Thursdays by 4 p.m. And there's no month that somebody doesn't die. I was there for 4 years, so I can tell you better. Obituary comes out every month for 4 years until my friend died. My friend was working with Total. Hallelujah. Walking like that. He fell in the depot. Before they could get to town, they tested his blood in Sandra. There was no poison in it, but he died. Hallelujah. We have seen people in the depot that drove their car to work, but they drove them back. Have you ever seen him? He drove his car to work. But in 4 o'clock, he was in the back seat, lying straight. They were driving his car back. His car got home, but he didn't get there. You say you want to walk there, you want to promotion. But you have not yet cracked the wisdom that was captured and concealed, so that in that terrible place, you can be exalted. And we come, the average Christian is not ready. Our God is faithful, but we are fake. Can we go back to 1 Corinthians 2? But today, I pray that you'll be provoked. Because if everybody in this number goes out with a resolve that is sustainable, in the next 1 year, something would have happened in this city. When I came there, I was the youngest government functionary. Then I had no, my beard had not come out. And I was holding one of the stamps that you need to have on your document before the product leaves the depot. I said, sorry, I don't stamp a document that I've not seen the product. Sorry, and I'll speak good English. I don't stamp the document that I've not seen the product. In the name of Jesus. They went to the manager and said, you have not educated your men. Hallelujah. They bring 200 papers, documents to stamp. No truck. In Lagos, they said they are bringing it to my uncle. 200. And if you sign one, you have 10,000. Please help me calculate. 200 times 10,000. How much? Huh? You can make that in a week. If I make it in a week and I buy Homer Jeep and pack out, you know, the groves were barricaded when I came. Eh? So we had to excuse ourselves and pack in the bush somewhere. If it's Homer Jeep I brought and I pack at that barricade, the person that closed it, he will open it. And then I come back and say, God is good. Balako balaya. You will believe me. You will believe me. I said, no, we don't stamp what we have not seen. And a battle erupted. A battle that sent me fasting for one calendar year. The malam they brought from Niger that blesses the land. Eh? He goes with paralysis in a bag. You call paralysis a symptom. You call it pathology. It's in a bag. It's in a man's bag. So if he shakes you in the morning, good morning. Eh? He has taken your right hand. My own, he did not only shake me, say good morning. Then he said, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, wala kaya. And after 1 year, it was not me that got paralyzed, it was him. So he said, take me to that small boy. They brought him. Then he said, Lafiazaki. What's the meaning of that? Lafiazaki. After 1 year, it was him that was struck. He didn't know that we were going to the depot by 6 a.m. anointing it. When nobody was there, we took over that landscape. Charm could not walk there again. The people that did the charm started dying. They said, an evil spirit has come here. So they came to check what is happening. They didn't find it. Because it was ordained for our glory, before the foundation of the world. And the Bible says that principalities, powers, they don't know. After 4 years, there was no evil man standing. Meanwhile, I was trekking up. Then I sent one chief, one Igbo chief. He came. He said, you are a young man. That's the, you know, when they strike and it doesn't succeed, they don't send the man. He knows how to talk. The guy knows how to convince. Say, you are a young boy. You don't even have a car yet. How? Then he will speak one Igbo word. Pick something. Then after a while, he knew he was wasting his time. Because the army of God needs to rise. For 4 years, we brought it to a standstill. That was why product, that's why fuel started coming to my country. Those queues you used to see, that's why it ended. Because if your paper will not be signed, go and bring the truck. So fuel came. Queues left. People selling high prices, the thing had to drop. But there was too much fuel in town. If you say you will sell 100 and something, you will keep that stock till next year. We need righteous men to be everywhere in society.
doing the works of Jesus. People are not just being raised in this church so that they can be pastors. No, you need to be a pastor in your field. God has sent some people, some of you, to some strategic places to take it over. And the Bible says there's a wisdom that was scripted for our glory. But you must decode it. Now come with me. Let's do the reading. He said, which none of the princes of this world had knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. But I said it yesterday, the things that eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard, that have not entered into the heart of man, they are called mysteries. He said, which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Because the Spirit searcheth all things. Now, you're going to start my counting. Anywhere you see things, you underline it. The Spirit searcheth what?
All things.
You see, that is the excellency of walking with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit can search demonic things. When they are doing meeting and planning for you, the Holy Ghost can take you and bring you in the Spirit, and you are hearing what they are saying. Because the Spirit searcheth what?
All things.
There is no limitation to that. With, see, in the realm of the Spirit, you must understand your ability to uncover secrets is what makes you stronger. When the devil begins to conscript medicine men for operation in the village, what makes one medicine man stronger than another is that he has a secret that the others don't know. That's how the spirit realm runs. It runs with secrets. So if you don't know what I'm operating with, it means I'm more powerful than yourself. If you cannot detonate, if you don't have an antidote for the things I'm doing, then it means you don't understand the wisdom that I'm operating by. And you are totally, totally inconsequential as far as my activities are concerned. Are you with me? But the day a herbalist secret is discovered, he'll be doing his incantation. Another herbalist will appear there and take his cap. Just to show him that thing you are doing, we have found the source. His ranking in that territory diminishes because another one has found the secret. So he will do well to be obedient because he's no longer the grandmaster. The Bible says the Spirit does what? Malekodabasaila Makota. That time I took off after Bible school to evangelize the world. You know, you can live with a vision. An ambition from the Bible that you don't have enough God to support. Wanted to evangelize the world, went to a village. Then I discovered that the herbalist there knows how to pass through wall, concrete. He does what? Makele Koma. You are kneeling down praying, and somebody is walking in the room. Say, you come. The person that was talking, he is physical. If you touch him, he has flesh and bone. How did he walk through the wall? You know, because I didn't know enough God then, I had to pack. Because he's the champion. Yes. You see, I will tell you where I miss it too. That is part of the gospel. But the story didn't end there. I went and found God for 5 years and I came back. It was the man that packed after 5 years. Yes. Some of you need to live here and some of your neighbors need to pack from the compound. Spirit searcheth all things. Hear the day. What? How many things now? How many have you marked now?
No. Wait first. Now you are. Pastor that brought us his template. Jesus, the master of all knowledge. He has gone far. Hallelujah. Where are we now? For God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Did you underline that? Yea, the deep what? Think. Underline that. Of God. For what man knoweth the things? Underline that. Of man. Save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things. Underline that. Of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received the Spirit which is a Spirit. We have received not the spirit of this of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the, underline that, that are freely given to us of God. With things, underline that, also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, 15. But he that is spiritual judged all things, and he himself is judged of no man. How many things did you underline there? How many things? Now, if I were to give 2 Corinthians 2 a subtitle, I would have called it the things of the Spirit or the things of God. Now, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost will guide us into all reality. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. Hallelujah. Now, you see, you must know what a spiritual thing is. That's why I opened the scripture so that we can have that definition. Now come with me. Let's go to verse 9. Okay, time. Oh my God, sorry. Ah, Jesus. Okay, let me finish verse 9 around that. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love. 10. But God has revealed them unto us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. A spiritual thing is a reality that exists in the domain of a spirit being. Please help me. A spiritual thing is a reality that exists in the domain of a spirit being. Now, you see, there are many kinds of spirits in the spirit realm. All right? And these spirits carry realities with them. For instance, the Bible says that the blessing of the Lord will make it rich and added no sorrow to it. Why does it not add sorrow? Why? Because it's the blessing of the Lord. No, you didn't. Let me take you deeper. See, the reason is because the Spirit of God is the original spirit that makes rich. And so when he makes you rich, he has nothing else to add to it because it's the original spirit. Now, if you go and consult the devil to make you rich, and he summons a spirit of barrenness. And that spirit of barrenness begins to masquerade as the Holy Spirit that has the ability to make you rich. For a season, the spirit of barrenness can make you rich. But in addition to your riches, he will add his real nature, which is barrenness. You get that? Now, spirits carry spiritual realities. Spirits carry spiritual things with them. Are you with me? So a spiritual thing is a reality that is in the domain of what? A spirit being. You get that? And this is true for the spirit of God and for demonic spirits, because demonic spirits also carry demonic realities. When you begin to come into contact with God, God, the Holy Ghost, as the Spirit of Truth, begins to bring you into these spiritual things. He brings the reality of divine things to you. Hallelujah. See, just like I said yesterday, healing is a spiritual thing. All right? And the Holy Ghost, it is when He comes that He begins to furnish and bring to you these spiritual things. Spiritual things can be translated to the natural. All right? Like healing is a spiritual reality. But you see, healing can take effect. According to that scripture, the blessing of the Lord, He maketh rich, shows us that prosperity is a spiritual thing. That's why if a native doctor wants to prosper you, he doesn't send you to school in London. He requests for your first daughter. Because it's spiritual. You understand what I'm talking about? And then when that spiritual reality begins to walk around your life, it can produce some results. Any kind of Christian that is not locked to the Holy Ghost, any result he has is not from God. If you are not deep in God and you claim to have results, that's not the due way by which Christians have results. Christians have results by touching spiritual realities. And you can touch the spiritual reality of healing, and it may take 10 years to manifest in that way. You can touch the spiritual reality of prosperity, it might take 10 years to manifest in the natural. It's only when you go for charm that you take charm yesterday, begins to work today. But this one in this kingdom, first of all, that reality is it sucks you into the spirit realm. It sucks you into its realm, that reality, until you become one with it. So that, like hand and glove, it becomes as much a part of you as your beating heart. It can flow through your fingers. It can be released through your voice. Anything in the hand of a strong man is a weapon. The responsibility that will come on you after this service is the deposits of God that will be released. You will have to develop it. Some of you, there are some movements of God in your life that you refuse to develop consciously. And that's why the devil is taking advantage of you, because God gave you that investment knowing that those attacks will come in the future. But you did not develop it. You were just there, floating. And then when the challenges that God was preparing you for came, you didn't have anything to challenge it back. The Holy Ghost in this service will bring spiritual realities to you. He will bring some realities. I knew the day I collided with something in the realm, I knew I could not be poor again. It was not a message I heard, it was an encounter I had. I used to be sick frequently until I encountered something in the realm. I knew sickness had gone. That's the valid way it takes place in this order. Now, if you give him half a chance this morning, he will clothe you with a garment. I'm out of time. How I wish we could remain here till evening. I know you will run away, so no problem. But a day will come when the hunger of God for God becomes so intense that on Sunday morning when people come, they lock the house because they know they will go back when the Holy Ghost has finished with them. Can you rise up? If you give him half a chance, I dare you this morning. Give him half a chance. Give him half a chance. It's time for us to leave behind every fake tendency so that we can latch on to the true God and feel His potency and power. Take His right hand of government and establish it in the very midst of that place where the devil thinks he has claimed. God needs men to stand for Him. And if you give Him half a chance this morning, He will clothe you. There's a garment of God that will come and clothe a few people this morning. You will be equipped with the equipment from God to stand for God, to do what God wants you to do.
and those battles that are raging around you, you will have the shield of the Spirit to deflect it. I just want you to stand in prayer today and say, God, I'm ready. Let that be your prayer. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Can you cast away that garment of unseriousness and say, God, I'm in business right now. I'm in business with you. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. If you give him half a chance this morning, he will clothe you. He will clothe you, and that sickness will be taken away from you. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Take the next 15 minutes seriously. Something is about to descend upon your life. Mahasaka babola babala babala. Mahasaka babola maskata regata babala maskata. Mahasaka babola mahana. We wait on you. And 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 we wait on you. Sing and we wait on you. Singing we wait on you. And we wait on you. Sing we wait on you. We wait. We wait. Things I want to do before I take my seat. We are pressed for time. We cannot go much longer. If we had more time, we would have gone farther. But I see in the spirit. Ala mama iakwa tekes ivrasi rohapata morakwata sakama lehevasi. Jesus. Now, listen to me. God is going to put his right hand upon an evangelist. There's an evangelist in our midst. This evangelist will rise to do great damage to the kingdom of darkness. I've seen that God has been dealing with this person in the closet for a long time, cooking something deadly against the kingdom of darkness. And as I speak, the anointing of God is beginning to descend upon that life, because there are many things that will be opened in that life in this season. Father, in the name of Jesus, for my left hand side to my right hand side, right here in this auditorium, I ask that your strong hand of power will go into this crowd and bring out, reveal that evangelist.
Let the anointing of the Spirit begin to descend. You see, he's already coming. Oh, the kind of glory I'm seeing. The kind of glory. God is on four people. His anointing is on four people. The kind of glory I'm seeing. Holy Spirit. Oh my God. Jesus Christ. Now, hey, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus. See, I'm seeing God is opening the eyes of a woman. He's washing her eyes. Father Lord. Oh my God. Akente soto bakabela. We wait
on you.
Just help me bring them. Just be bringing them.
And we wait on you. We wait on you. Singing, we wait.
That have a music ministry. Now, I will use the choir as a point of contact to reach out to anybody in this congregation that has a music ministry. So I'll be dealing with the choir, but God will be dealing with everybody that has a music ministry. Hallelujah. Now, choir, can you start talking to God? Just, I don't know how far you want to go. I don't know what you're asking. But where is that sister yesterday? Sister, where are you? Are you the one? Come. Just be following me till I say stop. Something will happen to your music ministry. Choir. You are not talking to God. It's not a time to be religious. Say definite things to God. Definite. The ministry of the psalmist must be restored. Okay, lift up your hands. Let's call him. No, I'm not talking to the whole congregation. I'm just talking to people that have music ministry. I'm using the choir as a point of contact. Anywhere you are, he will reach you. Don't worry.
And we wait. And we wait on you.
Okay, I want to pray for you now. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, you said you will anoint music ministries. Father, anoint. He's coming.
He's coming. There is, oh my God, He's coming. I'm seeing his touchlight on three people already. On three people. Holy Ghost, move on them. Let there be an eruption from the spirits of men. I call forth that anointing. I call it forth in the name of Jesus. I call it forth. Yes. Come on, Yakapatame. The power and the spirit of a minister. I call it forth from heaven. I call it forth, Lord. From the midst of the heavens. I call it forth. In the name of Jesus. Let the voice of prophecy begin to arise from the midst of your people. The voice of prophecy, the prophetic oil, the prophetic anointing, let it be released from the midst of your people. Yes, I'm seeing that arrow. I'm seeing it, Lord Jesus. Kayabona. A new music ministry will emerge in this house. A new music ministry that can bring down the presence of the angelic dimension. No, it does not come. Come. Don't worry. Come, just. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, give her that voice that comes from you. That voice from the heavens. Aha. Okay, Lord, that voice. Now, anywhere you are, I'm on the course now. And you came here, Lord, perfect it. You came here sick, you came here with an infirmity. You came here with problems with hearing, problems with seeing, all kinds of things. It's your time. I am the Mosia Babani. I am the Mosanemo. You see, while God is anointing you, there is a pain you used to feel on your stomach. He has taken it away too. He anointed you and took away that pain so that you can stand for Him and be a witness. Amatatelo abraska taya tata yata maka brasa brekata koda maseti maka pataya abrasete takoda ma abrasete to abrakata tetaya abramatatwa abrashakata abramatwala ikata teto kamata ashaha.
We wait.
You will see what will happen from today. Now I want to pray for the sick. Just want to say a word. If you have difficulties in hearing, you can put your hand on your ears. If you have difficulties in seeing, you can put your hand on your eyes. Just put your hand where you feel the pain or the sickness. If you cannot walk, you can put your hands on your legs while we trust the Lord to come down. Amen. You see, I'm afraid of what I'm hearing. You see, it's remaining one sister. Before I pray for the sick, there's one sister left that God wants to touch that He has not touched. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are the one that has delayed us. You have been delaying. Hey, my man,
Yes, Lord.
When men come, okay, now God will heal. Put your hand where that pain is, where that sickness is. Ah, mama, I'm seeing a woman. You normally have headache, half of your head, half, one side of your head. One side. Where are you? Have one side. He's taking it away right now. He's taking it. Now, listen to me. I'm seeing somebody. There is a pain that begins from your umbilical cord and goes to your...
Hey. We wait.
Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I remove from your daughter that limitation. I remove that limitation. I remove that limitation. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I'm seeing somebody that is a pain. It begins from your umbilical cord and it goes to your back. From your umbilical cord to your back. Where are you? A pain that begins from your umbilical cord, it come to your back. You, I need to touch you. A pain that begins from your umbilical cord and it goes as far as your back. I need to touch you. As you are touching that part, don't remove your hand. His healing is going on. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I remove that pain. That shocking pain. I remove it from your umbilical cord. That which was planted therein, today, I remove it. That which was planted there today, I remove it in the name of Jesus. That which was planted there today, come out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Leave her. Satan, I charge you in the name of Jesus. Come up. Touch on him. Yes. Loose her. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Let's pray as a congregation, those people that are sick. Some healings are already taking place in this auditorium. Some deliverance, some healings. Oh my God. Now. Please help me ask that brother why he's waving his hand. Ask him. He's healed. My God. God has already begun to heal. Heal people. Heal people. The things are living. The things are living. The things are living. The things are living. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I confront that pain. Amamara. If you are suffering from high blood pressure, good news. Good news. Good news. Good news. I command stability in your blood pressure in the name of Jesus Christ. I see somebody here that death has been appearing to you. You have been seeing dead people in your dream. But I have good news for you. I have good news for you. I terminate that appointment in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke the fear of death that is over your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Now I command that ear to hear. I command that eye to see. I command that pain to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Pain go. Pain go. Leave them. Leave them. Leave them. Leave them. Leave them. Leave them. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to check yourself quickly. For those of you that sense that the pain has gone, the sickness has left you, let me see your hand raised up. You are sure that the pain has left you. You are sure that the sickness has gone. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You are sure. You are sure. You are sure. Mamante escavorata. You are sure. God is still working on somebody's eyes. You are sure that it has left you. Oh my God. Just put those hands together for Jesus.